And welcome to the Random Podcast. I'm Max Dobson.
And I'm Alex Williams.
This is Episode 3. Coming to you live from Wiltshire, which is in left of London, which is left of Europe, which is left of Asia, which is left of America. This is the Random Podcast. I'm Max Dobson.
And I'm Alex Williams.
It's a wonderful day outside. Yeah. And today, unfortunately, we don't have a special guest, as unfortunately Philly couldn't make it. Perhaps the next one. We've got plenty to talk about, though. But first, I think we shall start with video games.
Yes, before that, Max, we've just completed our first Ashes game. Unfortunately, our other first Ashes game got corrupt, and therefore we couldn't view it. Fortunately, Max won, so it didn't actually count. Yeah. And so we played Tekken. It was a 4v4 battle, one player being controlling four players, and it was very entertaining, I thought.
So that'll actually be up within the same time that this podcast is up. And also today, we'll be talking in cups. Just talking cups every once in a while. And now we shall move on to video games.
Video juegos, sí.
Oh, hang on, I've turned on the Spanish translator. Yes, it's video games, people. And I've actually gone out and tested a few demo games. This has consisted of Overlord 2, Gravity Core 1.51, Sherlock Holmes vs. Jack the Ripper, and Elven Quests. I shall start with Sherlock Holmes vs. Jack the Ripper. It is a puzzle-solving game, definitely. But for the demo, the first half of it you spend running around, getting things for other people, but in order to get that, you have to go do something else for someone else. But then, about halfway through, you end up at the scene of a crime. And with this, you take out your magnifying glass and you look around for clues in the area or actually at the crime scene. You can, once you have all your clues, you can deduce things. For example, if the casualty had a bruise on the left cheekbone and the right collarbone, you can basically deduce from that the assailant used his right hand to stop the victim from screaming. And using that, you've got to determine whether or not your murderer was left or right-handed and that sort of thing. And I thought it was very interesting, a bit boring at first. I'd certainly say it was a game for the mature, at least 16 plus for certain references, but it's also very puzzle solving. You need to know what you're thinking about. You need to have an inquisitive mind, I think. But I also think this is a game for mothers, because
please explain, Max.
Well, definitely my mother. She loves murder mysteries. She'll watch Poirot. She'll watch Agatha Christie's Marple. She'll watch Touch of Frost. Anything really. And so, if you've got a mother's birthday coming up and you need to buy them something, this is a pretty good idea. Also, we have Gravity Core 1.51, which, in not so many words, was a bit awful. It was a platform game. It's kind of like Asteroids in the way you control a ship, when you have to go and destroy certain things, pick up certain things, refuel, destroy this XYZ.
And this time it's actually Asteroids, not Star Defense.
No, not Star Defense, as we tried to say last podcast. But it was actually rather awful. This is a game you only play when you've got nothing better to play. And even then, you've still got the gaming sites like Nitrome and Miniclip.
Max, you talk about these demos, but how long do you get to play on them? Is it a limited time demo, or is it limited levels?
It's not limited time at all. It's basically the first level, or the first mission that you have to do. Also, there was Elven Quests, which is a real-time strategy game. I didn't really understand this at first, but after a while, the graphics were pretty interesting. And lots of attacking, lots of defending. I didn't really finish it, though, because my computer decided to crash. Yeah. And last but not least, we have Overlord 2, which, in my opinion, is the best of the bunch. You control minions, but you also have your own person to control. The controls are a little bit stiff to pick up on. It's like, you can't understand most of the time at the very beginning what you're doing, but after that, they're very intuitive. Basic system of clicking, you can left click to send them, right click to return, left and right, you can sweep them across the area. This is basically a mix of real-time strategy, first-person hack and slash, and puzzles, because you have to use your minions to solve certain puzzles.
So are we talking about like Empires or games like that?
Kind of. This is actually a third-person perspective of the main character, the Overlord, as it were.
Yeah, because in Age of Empires you control your men, you build...
Yes, but with Age of Empires you have a camera on the overview. This is actually on your character. You don't per se build things, but you still command your imps and goblins to go and attack things.
And you can attack yourself, yes?
Yes, you yourself can attack. Right. You have a huge axe and you can go around killing cute-looking seal pups and Eskimos and at some point elves and yetis. And it just gets better and better. The graphics are superb.
And what's the storyline? Is there a storyline, or do you just go and round and kill people?
Well, basically, you're the last hope for evil. It's the time of the Roman Empire, and you are the last overlord. Basically, you're evil's last shot at gaining power over the entire world.
Alright. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, definitely my pick. Also, patch 3.2 came out for World of Warcraft a couple of days ago. This was fantastic. There are major changes, such as a new battleground, level 71 to 80. This is, can't remember what it's called exactly, but it utilizes siege weapons and siege engines, much like Wintergrasp. And it even looks brand new. I mean, they haven't used any sort of skins from other ones, as other battlegrounds have been known to do for places in the world. There's also a new five-man and raid. This is Trial of the Champion and Call of the Champion, I believe, which drops pretty good loot. And at the moment, there is a bug, which means it constantly drops epics. So it might be gone by the time you get there, but it's definitely something to look into. They've reduced the level requirements and prices for normal epic and flying mounts, but not for swift epic mounts, to levels 20, 40, and 60, respectively. And they've also made them pretty cheap, considering what you need. I've managed to get my hunter to level 69, and I finally managed to fly, just in time to go to Northrend and having to buy another thing in order to fly there.
This patch doesn't cost anything, does it, Max?
Not at all. This comes absolutely free. It'll immediately start downloading once you log on. It was put on the European servers the last Wednesday.
The only reason I asked that is because World of Warcraft costs a lot to run, doesn't it, Max? It costs, about £100 a year? Am I right in saying that?
You might be right if you chose the wrong options. It's about, for 3 months, it's about £25-24.
Alright.
If you wanted to play per month, it would be £10, and yes, it would be over 100. But I think you're paying for something you enjoy, and you don't have to pay for anything else, apart from if you want to transfer your character, or rename them, or change what they look like.
Yeah. So, I mean, £100 for a game is a bit steep.
You get the first month free, though.
However, I mean, you find it quite enjoyable, don't you? I know lots of other people find it enjoyable, and it's... must be worth the investment if you get so much enjoyment out of it. I mean, if you decide to buy a new console and a new game for it, that would cost about the same amount, really, if you're going to play it for 2 years. So World of Warcraft must be a good investment, if you like that kind of stuff.
Also, there is a documentary out called Second Skin. It is based on the lives of three groups of MMORPG players. And at the moment, it is on snagfilms.com for free. But it will be pulled by the 13th, so if you want to watch it there. It definitely doesn't paint a pretty picture of the lives of these gamers, but it's the truth. You could play these things, you could find happiness, you could find love, you could, I don't know, alleviate all physical bonds and live in a free world, or worst case scenario, you lose your job, your relationship, and contemplate suicide.
Well, I think I'll be watching that. I haven't seen it yet.
Now I think we shall move on to... movies. Time for movies. And there's been a release recently at our local cinema. It's called Aliens in the Attic, co-scripted by one of the writers of Madagascar and Wallace and Gromit Curse the Were of It. It's an adventure comedy, I believe from Disney, about kids going on a family vacation who must fight off an attack by knee-high alien invaders with world-destroying ambitions, while the actor's parents remain clueless about the battle. It has Ashley Tisdale, Robert Hoffman, Dustin Hoffman's brother, and Austin Robert Butler. It is a PG, as it contains misuse of fireworks, language, and violence. Do not misuse fireworks, children. They are very dangerous and will hurt you. Also, we have G-Force, which we did mention a while back now, but I actually went to go and see because there was nothing else on.
If I remember rightly, Max, you went to see G-Force. However, on the podcast before, you said there was really little point in going to see it.
Well, it was that. My sister didn't want to go see Ice Age, and it's the only thing we could all agree on. It was actually rather good. It was fairly well written, and it contained a pretty good cast with Nicolas Cage and Bill Nighy, Penelope Cruz, and it was good. The plot was brilliant. It's kind of like Transformers meets Spy Kids meets Dr. Doolittle, I suppose. Any films that you've seen recently, Alex?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen many films recently. My time's been occupied through cricket, actually.
Right. So I think it's short but sweet, but that's it for movies this time, sort of to balance out the extra long time we had for video games. We shall now move on to gadgets.
Hello listeners, and now it's time for the gadget section. Once again, we picked two good and two bad gadgets. To start off with, we'll have a good gadget. It's the Swap Mobile Phone Watch. Now, this watch is not just any mobile phone watch.
It's an M&S watch.
It's an M&S watch. No, it's not one of those James Bond watches. In fact, it's more. You can play mobile phone games on your mobile phone watch. You can obviously talk, dial. There is also a camera built into the watch. I think this gadget is amazing and much better than our MP4 watch we had last time. Don't you agree, Max?
Not in the least. I do agree that it was an excellent, excellent gadget, but it's 250 quid, and to be honest, you could just buy a phone and a watch for less than that. It does have a touchscreen, though.
Yeah, it's got a touchscreen on the watch. I think that's really cool.
Okay, we're at odds about that, but, you know, it doesn't please everyone. We've also got our next good gadget, which is the Cash Stash. This is a key ring. Let's set the scene for you. Let's just set the scene. It's 4 a.m. on a Sunday morning, and the alcohol fairy has managed to magically whisk your wallet away on a magical adventure that may or may not involve a flying unicorn. Or you could have just left it on the pub table. Again. So what are you going to do? You could walk 5 miles home, but why should you? In a flash of pure genius, you actually planned ahead and clipped the stash cash to your keyring. It's a handy little stash pot that's designed to hold a single note for when you really, really need it. Forward your note around the stainless steel cash clip, which is included, and then squeeze it into the cash stash. All that's left to do is saunter up to the nearest taxi rank, flash the cash you've just liberated from your stash, and announce in your most dignified voice, "Home, James, and don't spare the horses."
Now, this was going to be one of our pointless gadgets, actually, but we realised how true it is and how many people might need this.
We haven't experienced this yet, because, you know, we're slightly underage, but it does seem like...
Never will,
no, because we're good people. No, it's very useful. In fact, for any occasion, not if you're stuck out without any money. You could be going to the cinema, or you could be going into town and decided, in case you do see something you want, you can just bring out the cash there and then.
Yeah, you may have forgot your wallet, which a lot of people do.
People do that, so we think that's actually one of the useful gadgets. We now have our bad gadget. This is the USB microscope. With this, you can plug it into your laptop or computer and use it to magnify things that you could have on your desk, such as, coins,
yeah.
or your mouse, or the keyboard, even, or that mug of tea or coffee that you've left for about a week, so you can look at the penicillin.
On the website here, to display how good it is, it magnifies into a coin, and really, you can't see any further into the coin at all. It's absolutely pointless.
Except if you're very, very short-sighted.
Oh, if you're short-sighted, then yeah.
Then what are you doing buying a computer? You might just go buy a pair of glasses or even this MP4 watch. It is £80 of your hard-earned money for this microscope, when I honestly don't see the point. It's kind of a bad gadget, but it's kind of an interesting gadget too. It's the Space Invaders LED doormat. And this is for all the retro gamers out there. And if you've ever wanted a doormat that lights up, this is cool and new. And it's an LED doormat, which actually, as you step on it, little Space Invaders appear on the doormat. This should suit you right down to the doorstep. It'll greet you with cool moving LED Space Invaders when you apply pressure. It's an excellent way to prevent any visitors. It's also great for non-stop gaming sessions.
However, this is quite bad.
It's pretty pointless, but it is cool, which is convenient because we found it at the Pointless But Cool website. It's generally, the cheapest I can see is £10, the most expensive is about £40. So
don't get it from there.
So don't get it from the £40 site, oh no. Why is it pointless? It just is. Why is it cool? LEDs make stuff cool. Well, most things, I suppose. But that is it for gadgets, I think.
It is, but one final thing, Max, as we do at the end of every show, which is the best gadget so far in your mind?
I'm still going to stick with the MP4 watch, I think.
Now, I have to disagree with you, Max. It's got to be the Swap Watch. The Swap Watch mobile phone watch. Mobile phone watch, Max. I never thought I'd see the day when I've been saying that, except for on James Bond.
Okay, well, we need to sort out which is going to be our number one gadget. So, okay, here, we're going to do rock, paper, scissors, okay? So, okay, on three, okay, ready? Rock, two, three.
No.
Okay, so it's one, two, three, and go. Okay so ready? Yeah. One, two, three.
No!
Yes! The MP4 watch has won the day once more. You think you could trick me with paper, but I go with scissors, because I knew you thought I would go for rock.
Yes.
I
thought you'd try
and help. Some people do go for rock,
though. I triple crossed you,
well, like I just crossed you. C'est l'heure de App de l'heure semaine. That is French for it's time for App of the Week. And this week...
No, it's not. You just made app up. You just said app.
No. C'est l'app de la semaine.
C'est l'app.
C'est l'application.
C'est l'app of the week.
So, yes, we're speaking in French. The actual app pick of the week is Shakespeare. This is a free app for your iPhone and iPod Touch. If you're headed back to school soon, and you probably are, don't forget to pack a copy of Shakespeare on your iPhone, even though you're not allowed phones in school. This free app brings you the full text of all 40 plays, as well as the poems and sonnets of the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Customize your reading experience by picking the font color and font size. Opt to scroll or tap your way down the page. You can either rotate the iPhone or iPod Touch and read Shakespeare in landscape mode.
Now, I'm really annoyed about this, Max.
As am I.
We just finished year 11, and... sorry. And... we had to do Shakespeare for one of our coursework, didn't we, Max?
And this would have been so very, very useful.
Oh, yes, it would.
It would have been fantastic. Still up there with the top five is Star Defense, not Asteroids, the Whole Foods thing, and the Clear Tune Chromatic Tuner. As well as this, there is Real Tennis 2009, which don't get. Just get a Wii instead. It's much more interesting. But it is...
I can't believe this Shakespeare thing.
I know, it's not particularly fair. But then again, you know, kids need all the easiest they get because, you know, they're too busy focusing on alcohol, violence and drugs to focus on education.
How stereotypical is that?
Is that generalising? Probably. Yes. I think if we're the best year the school's ever seen, then the next one is definitely the worst.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, there isn't much else to talk about on App of the Week, so it's another...
This is the App of the Week.
It's just just one this time. We aren't recommending several. It's short but sweet, and we're counteracting how much time we spent on the gadgets. This time, we are moving on to music. was Wookiee for It's Time for Music. And this time on music, because usually we talk about the musical interests of our special guest, but he or she isn't here. So instead, we're going to talk about what makes music music and what makes it interesting or makes it noise with words in the background.
Well, I mostly enjoy the lyrics of the songs, because that's what you try and listen to and try to make out. Sometimes you can't make out the lyrics and just sing your own words.
I honestly think that the music is the most important thing, because
not the lyrics.
No. If you listen to the lyrics, yes, sometimes they make little to no sense. A prime example of this is Fall Out Boy. If you look at some of their lyrics, it's absolutely ridiculous. For example, their opening song Thriller on their album Infinity on High, the chorus goes something like, "Roll in the car crash hearts, cry on the couch, all the poets come to life, fix me in 45.
Fix me in 45.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense, I honestly think.
I'm sure it does to them, though.
Yeah, to them, well, obviously. And then another one is...
I don't believe this. You found one example, Max. And,
Do you want to find you another one?
No. I'd like you to find one of another band. Yes, please.
Of another band?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's think. Another band. If you have an idea of another band which has random lyrics, do feel free to send it to us at randompodcast@hotmail.com. Okay, another group. How about...
No, you can't speak in Wookiee, Max.
But I like speaking in Wookiee.
You have a song with Wookiee language in it.
That could be. Okay, let's think of another song with absolutely random lyrics.
It could be in, what's the Star Trek language?
Star Trek Klingon.
Klingon.
I'm pretty sure that sounded like Jewish. Whoa! Potentially racist.
We won't include
this. It'd probably be somewhere at the very back of Alex's hard drive. So,
I'm sure there are many lyrics that don't make sense. And there may be. But most of the songs do make sense. And they have good lyrics. And that's the reason I listen to them. Because they make sense. And they also tell a story. And the music, apart from being nice and attractive and it's all the gloss on the outside, the lyrics are the real heart of the song.
Okay. Well, you can say that all you want, but I think without music, lyrics are just words, okay? They need a tune put to them. For example, there is music without lyrics, such as Cliffs of Dover by Eric Johnson. But then again, you could probably say the same thing about lyrics. You got lyrics without music, it's basically a poem.
Yes, Max. Poems.
So it's a symbiotic relationship. You can have one without the other, but it wouldn't make much sense to. But
I'm sorry, Max, I don't believe you. What you've said. You said you can have one without the other, but it wouldn't make much sense.
So no.
You're saying poems and Cliffs of Dover don't make sense?
No, Cliffs of Dover sounds wonderful. Because if you want to, you can add bits and bits on. Actually, I just thought of another one. I just thought of another song. By Nick Kershaw. It's a song called The Riddle. And the actual chorus goes something like, "Near a tree by a river, there's a hole in the ground where an old man of Arran goes around and around. In his mind, he's a beacon in the veil of the night. For a strange kind of fashion, there's a wrong and a right, but they'll never, never fight over you." That is utterly random lyrics.
Which actually sounds like a poem.
I suppose if you want to put it like that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like a poem, and some poems are good. They are inspiring, I feel, Max.
Yes, you were singing a different tune near the English exams. I honestly, you couldn't ask me to compare and contrast anything anymore.
I think the poem in the exam was quite hard, but I felt I appraised it well. I found that the water above the grass was the blanket over people's sorrows.
Blah, blah, blah. We don't need your technical lingo in English.
The thing is, I didn't feel like that the whole way through English, and then suddenly when it came to the exam.
Okay, here, I win. Okay, you got music without lyrics, you got poetry.
Yeah.
That will never get into the charts. You got music without lyrics, that does get into the charts.
Okay, right, Max. I have a question for you now, okay? What is more well-remembered? Is it either Shakespeare with his poems or a band that you've heard of? I say that it's Shakespeare. We've even been talking about an app with Shakespeare on. I'm sorry, but that.
Yes, but he's not just got Shakespeare. Okay, people don't remember Shakespeare for his sonnets. Some people do. Most people remember him for his plays.
Yes.
Like Romeo and Juliet.
Which were written in continuous prose, weren't they, Max? And therefore.
Iambic pentameter.
And therefore make up a poem like.
No, iambic pentameter, five on, five off beats, is supposed to be akin to the natural rhythm of speech. It makes things easy to say. So it says, what light through yonder window breaks? It is the east, and Juliet is the sun. Or, if we shadows have offended, think of this, and all is mended, that you have but slumbered here while these visions did appear.
Exactly, so it is poem-like. Do you agree?
Or, a very simple easy one to be.
You are wrong.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is noble in the mind to suffer the sling stones and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take up arms against the sea of troubles and end them, and die, to sleep, perchance to dream.
Which is in Hamlet.
It is indeed in Hamlet. Go Hamlet, go Hamlet, go Hamlet, go. So yes, we also enjoy Renaissance Man, the film. It's very good. I do recommend it to everyone. But I think we might leave that, you know, a bit undisclosed. So if you have any views on that, do feel free to send an email or drop us a line.
We've already exclaimed or disclaimed the email address, which is randompods@homeworld.com.
randompodcasts@homeworld.com.
However, if you type in random pods without any spaces into Google, you will find us at the top of the list. Yay. And we also have a Facebook page. Please be our fan. Please, whoever you are, just be a fan. We've got three at the minute. She's quite good.
It's quite good,
considering
two of them are us.
Two of them are us. But yeah, thank you very much. And if you do have any ideas, please write in. Next to the shout-outs, I believe.
Yes. Shout-outs! We don't have many shout-outs this time. It's basically to everyone who's bothered listening to the second podcast, which is 11 people, I think.
Yes, well, it was 11, well, 11 so far.
So far, yes, could be more. We can't get a sudden wave of popularity.
Yes, yeah, there's 30 on the first one.
Another shout-out to Philly, who has given these podcasts such good reviews in the past. And another shout-out to Craig, awesome dude. I think we might have him on as a special guest star at some time.
Yeah, we're trying to do that. However, he did mention that we should play Halo 3. And I've got to say that we don't possess of any good consoles.
No, unfortunately, we don't have a 360.
No, so we can't play that as yet.
Also, we will be changing formats. At the moment, it's basically just been us sitting in front of a microphone and chatting. We will actually be moving formats to Skype, hopefully, by the next podcast, which will be in a few weeks' time. I think that is about it for this podcast, dear listener.
Sponsors.
We don't have any sponsors this time.
We do.
Which ones?
We do.
Fine. For, I don't know.
Next to the sponsors.
Next, Alex Williams.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Coming this far. You watched idly as you were overlooked yet again, but no more. This time, you take the watching into your own hands. Where's Wally 3? Revenge of the Wally Watchers, coming for Nintendo DS and Xbox 360. Playtime is over.
Once again, dear listener, it is time to end this wonderful podcast and leave you to the dark oblivion of the interweb space. But Alex, would you kindly tell anyone and everyone who is listening out there how they can become a part of this podcast?
Well, as we've discussed throughout the podcast, you can email us at randompodcasts@hotmail.com, or you can go on our website randompods.podbean.com, and if you type in randompods with no spaces into Google, we are the number one preferred site. You can also contact us on Facebook and become a fan. Please become a fan, we would be very generous, and you can post on our discussions there.
Excellent. So I think that's all the time we have for today, but this is Max Dobson signing off.
And this is Alex Williams signing off.